Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Samuel Soleil. Yes, I'm Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest, starting very soon. It's now time to start finding a seat for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Vigil at Barzai Hawk, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now my great privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of the Israelite now entering the sanctuary. It's my great privilege and honor to present to you one of the sons of Israel, future priest Yeshaya Hoffman. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Rejoicing Begins Here. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 11 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 11 through 12 on page 157. It says, Then there will be a place Yahweh will choose to establish his name, and there you will bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice things that you have vowed to Yahweh. And you shall rejoice in front of Yahweh. You and your wife, wives, your sons, your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, and the Levite who lives within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Rejoicing helps you to smile. Didn't you know that smiling has many awesome benefits that help us to rejoice? Here's just a few. It says, neurotransmitters called endorphins are released when you smile. These are triggered by the movements of the muscles in your face, which is interpreted by your brain, which in turn releases chemicals. Endorphins are responsible for making us feel joyful. And they also help lower stress levels. Faking a smile or laugh works as well as the real thing. The brain doesn't differentiate between real or fake, as it interprets the positioning of the facial muscles in the same way. This is known as facial feedback hypothesis. The more we stimulate our brain to release this chemical, the more often we feel joyful and relaxed. Endorphins make us feel joyful and less stressed. They also act as the body's natural painkillers. For sufferers of chronic pain, laughing and smiling can be very effective in pain management, as can laughing off pain when you bump your elbow or fall over. Smiling is contagious. Can everybody smile? Because of the complex brain activity that occurs when you see someone smiling, smiles are contagious. Studies report that just seeing one person smiling activates the area of your brain that controls your facial movement, which leads to a grin. Smiling lowers stress and anxiety. It is not easy to keep smiling in stressful situations, but studies report that doing exactly that has health benefits. When recovering from a stressful situation, study participants who were smiling had lower heart rates than those who were a neutral facial expression. The next time you are feeling stressed, just try smiling to calm yourself down. And the peaceful solution says, laugh 10 times a day or more. And you smile when you laugh. Those are just a few of the awesome benefits of smiling. Now, Yisrael Hawkins has been teaching us to smile, and I have proof right here. Can everybody see that? Okay, in the seventh book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 4, verses 91, it says, I say, pay attention to what's being taught, and you'll start liking this, and you'll start smiling from your heart. Then it'll show on your face. So he told us, then Pastor, he gave us an example. It says, someone said, man, you were really smiling, you know, when you were led into the courthouse. I said, yeah, I'm still rejoicing about it, not because I was arrested, but because I knew I was serving Yahweh. So then, Pastor, he told us again. He said, if you have a gripe, don't show it on your face now. Prove that you're grown. Prove that you're a grown-up. Prove that you're an adult. Prove that you're a righteous person. Smile. Even though you're hating to smile, Let me finish this. Go to the closet, lock yourself in, and tell Yai what you've got to gripe about. Now, if you would turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 15 on page 505, verses 13 and 15. It says on page 105, Proverbs 13 and 15. It says, a merry heart lights up the face, but sorrow of the heart, grief, anxiety, depression breaks the spirit. Verse 15. To those who are opposed, every day is miserable. To those who have a merry heart, every day is a continual feast. And, sorry about that. In closing, we showed Pastor that we can do it too. In the 11th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 6, verse 2, he said, I noticed that I've been getting great reports on everybody this week. You've all just held it real well. You're overcoming. You had a smile on your face most of the time, anxious to help. And with this, I'll turn it over to Son of Yisrael Abel, Nebiah Hawkins, for prayer.
And now for our first speaker, the great Son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Tawakia Hawkins. Praise Yahweh, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I'm going to continue talking about a little bit about what the great Son of Yisrael Abel was talking about earlier, about smiling, but I'm going to focus on being thankful. Being thankful for what we have. In positive law number 19, we're told to be thankful in prayer, praise, and deed, or in everything that we do. In everything we do, we should be thankful. Because look at it this way. We're at the house of Yahweh. We should be thankful for that. We are a part of the royal family. We should be thankful for that. We have a teacher of righteousness who is teaching us to be teachers so we can go teach others to be teachers. We have many things that we can be thankful for here in the house of Yahweh. There shouldn't be any reason why we aren't thankful. Now, when we're given a job, we should rejoice while we're doing it. Because if we do it grudgingly, or if we do it with an attitude, And just proving to, then that's proving to Yahweh that we're not ready for a higher position, that we're going to have to stay there scrubbing the toilets for a little while longer. In the second book of Israel, chapter 10, verse 93, it says, this is Pastor, he says, I took the deodorant, I scrubbed those commodes, and I scrubbed around the commodes on the floor. When I got through, they were shining. People noticed that. They were shining. I took a great joy in doing so, and still do. So he was smiling. He was rejoicing. I take a great joy in doing anything Yahweh allows me to do. As former President Reagan said the other day, when you start getting my age, you're thankful for anything you can do after that. Do any job that Yahweh has given you, and don't avoid the work. Get into it. Enjoy it. Get into it. Ask what you can do. Finish that job. Finish the job that you've been assigned, and ask what you can do after that. Be a part of it, and be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. And also, in chapter 2 of the same book, verse 71, chapter 2, verse 71, he says, it's on page 12, he says, anyway, we pause and give thanks and praise to Yahweh for the food. Then the ladies who cooked it will usually start telling me, oh, I should have put more salt in it, or I should have put more pepper, or something's wrong with this. I say, no, 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 there's nothing wrong with this recipe. Now, if you put more salt in it, that recipe might be equally as well, but it's not going to be better. It might be equal to it, but we gave thanks. Remember, we gave thanks for this food. Let's be thankful for the food. Because we've already thanked Yahweh for the food, so we shouldn't be complaining about it. Be thankful that you have a meal, okay? Be thankful that you have some of the cleanest food on the earth, because the world doesn't have that food. They have food that is defiled, and they don't even have water as it is. They don't have clean water to drink like we have here in the house of Yahweh. So back to doing our jobs and rejoicing and being thankful that we have a job. Because out in the world, they don't have jobs. Their people are losing their jobs. Okay, remember what the great son of Yezreel said during feast. It's attitude of servitude, not servitude with an attitude. If we can turn over to Colossians 3 verse 15, it's on page 927. It says, and let the peace of Yahweh rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful for all that we have. And that's the Apostle Shaul. He's telling us to be thankful. And if we look at the side note in 2 Kings 4, verse 13, it says, the servants of Yahweh are always thankful for the blessings they receive. So do we want to be the servants of Yahweh? Yes. Praise Yahweh. We should all want to be the servants of Yahweh here at Yahweh's house. Remember, to be thankful means to be glad something occurred or you have something, even if you don't want it. No matter how much you don't like that food, no matter how much you don't like doing that job, you still should do it rejoicingly, not grudgingly or with an attitude. The world has nothing to be thankful for, okay? The only thing that they have is death, disease, destruction. But here in the house of Yahweh, we have a family. We have a family of royal priesthood. And we all have this opportunity to make it into this priesthood. So don't give up. Don't give up. Continue being thankful for what we have. Because Yahweh is offering us so many things. Praise Yahweh. If y'all please stand. I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Carnelian.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. In the news today, of course, we see more wars taking place all around the world, but there's also news coming out right now. The United States is doing something that they haven't done in 80 years. And notice, 80 years, that takes you back to 1934, around that time. But it also takes you back to right before World War II, and the United States is storing up an abundance of oil. They're actually filling mass reserves more than what we actually need. They're putting that oil into reserves, and people are asking why. Why are we doing such a thing? Also, Israel and Saudi Arabia, of course, the old saying, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. If you look to the Middle East, you see Saudi Arabia bombing Yemen at this time. And of course, it's a cultural difference, it's a religious difference, and it's a battle for territory. And it's not as much as a battle for oil as it is the ways of exporting oil and getting it around the world. So pay close attention, because Israel and Saudi Arabia really have no diplomatic ties other than this agreement that they both dislike Iran. Well, why do they dislike Iran? Why is all this taking place? Well, watch closely what they say about Yemen and how they can control this moving of oil. And remember, Pastor wrote about these things many, many years ago, dating all the way back to the Mark of the Beast. He foretold of these things through what he's seen in the Scriptures, what Yahweh showed him in Scriptures. And then there's a man who's making comments about an empire being built, known as, he's referring to it as the United States, but of course we know it's the Roman Empire, and we know it because we're here at the house of Yahweh. And this man, he's repeating a lot of things. You can tell that they're hearing from Pastor. The world is starting to see there is an empire being built, but it's a Roman Empire that's being built. And pay close attention to what he says. You'll see a lot of what Pastor's saying in that, but the man has not yet come to the full knowledge of the truth to see what Pastor is showing us. And then Fukushima, the former mayor is reporting how many children are now dying from the devastation that took place with a nuclear meltdown that took place after the tsunamis with the power plants. They're now suffering. And then we're going to look at Arizona, and this is really tragic, because they're considering this success, where a police officer decided to run down a man with his car. The police officer actually runs him down, and it shows the video of him being run down, and it was considered success. It was considered acceptable. And just imagine what that's going to lead to with future events. And then last but not least, remember Pastor said that people would try to escape to Walmart to get these things off their mind. Well, Pastor also said that eventually it would find them at Walmart. And what we're going to close with is a huge battle that took place between a family of 8 and 9 police officers that ended up leaving a few shot and 1 dead. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. If everyone could please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Khan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins. Hello, everyone. You're looking great. They're all yours, Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The sheriff, I don't think he showed it in this bit of news that Kohan Eliyah put together there, but the sheriff was saying the worst thing about this rape is it goes on every year. Nothing is done about it. Of course, they don't know what to do about it is the thing, but he is saying he is very angry in uniform in front of the camera on Scott Pelley show, I believe it was. And he said, the bad thing about this is hundreds of people standing by, taking pictures, watching this take place, watching a woman get brutally slaughtered here, left for dead on the beach, and they did nothing about it, he said. Not a thing. And he said, this goes on every year. And I believe they arrested like 1,100 people. Their jails were full. They had what looked like bird cages, gorilla cages, out on the beach, and they brought them out to put the prisoners in. No restrooms in them, just bars and cold seat, and had their hands handcuffed behind their back. I don't know how long they stayed there, but and of course. This makes matters worse too, you know. It's like the fight at the Walmart store where the people are fighting back, and this is a kind of a small incident, but what if these people start getting guns and spray cans themselves and start using them, you know, to, instead of their fists against the police? You know, it's getting worse. And I'm telling you, there's a worse scenario coming than this, and what they're doing is not solving it. They're making
they're making that worse also. I want you to keep in mind the race that we're running, and of course, with this Babylonian system of which you just watched some of the wickedness, some of the evil of the gods, as Genesis 3:5 says, that's just some of it. And of course, the preachers, the religions today, they're not teaching against this. They're teaching the laws that would stop it are done away with. All of them are teaching the same thing. The sheriff don't know it, but he should have been talking to the religion saying, you need to do something to stop this. You need to start teaching something to stop this. It's coming from your congregations. They say, no, it's coming from Salvation Army down the street. That's where these people come from. Sure it is. Well, of course, in this race we're running, the House of Yahweh released document explaining Bible prophecy for this generation. That jumped with a 53,975 already early this morning. This was early this morning. I got this around 7 o'clock, something like that. Some of these news medias has audiences of 1,872,831, another than 2,390,565. I don't know if you saw the great news, but EU now, get this, EU. filed a complaint against Google for bringing forth certain corporations. Watch. Hey, look up here. That's what it was all about. But they filed this charge against Google for bringing forth certain corporations. We know what it's for. You know, when you're number 10 on the 12 list of hot topics, of hot news, you know, you're bringing forth, that's brought forth for the people to see. Well, EU is file charges. I was reading it this morning. They said that Google will probably appeal it, which will take more than a decade right there to ever get to court. So, you know, this is a losing battle either way they go. They can spend all their money on lawyers, but it's a losing battle. The work of Yahweh is out there to stay, you know. demanding an end to violence will not work. And this is what we keep telling them. We have a way, of course, that will work, but that's what we're taking to the world right now. And many are seeing this and they're saying, why didn't we do this a long time ago? Why did we wait till now to start putting it out? Hardcore proof. The House of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas is the prophesied place, says Israel Hawkins. That's up to over 120,807 news medias running this article right here, right now. Praise Yahweh. This gang rape, if I can find this quickly, through social media, we have been able to find videos of girls incoherent, passed out, and almost like they are drugged, being assaulted, he says. The Panama City in front of a bunch of people standing around doing nothing about it, the sheriff said. Hundreds of people just standing around doing nothing about it. This year, the Bay County Sheriff's Office made more than 1,000 arrests on that incident there. Some of it was not shown. Some of it was shown yesterday or Thursday, I guess it was. Might have been yesterday evening. If you remember, we were talking about a race shown in Hebrews. That's the best place. It's shown all through the scriptures, but That's the best place. A race that is being run by the house of Yahweh, seven eras of the house of Yahweh, and of course Babylon. And Yahweh gives them every opportunity, gives Babylon every opportunity. But he could have taken this race easily by now if he'd have wanted to. But it is his plan to let people come to see what sin is and see that it's not the desirable way that's painted. And of course, we stopped last week in Genesis 49, if you have that down. And of course, hope you did, because you really need to understand this, that if you don't understand this, you won't understand the easier subject, which is Jonah. Why did Yahweh choose Jonah? I said Jonah because that's the name that pops into mind in the King James Version. His name was actually Jonah, but why did he choose him, and why did he insist on him doing what he said to do? You know, Jonah refused to do that. Went off and hid from Yahweh, he thought. And why did he insist on it? He let everyone else go their way. When they didn't want to do it, that was their choosing, so he let it go. But not with Jonah. Why? Well, if you understand this race we're running, that was 12-1. That number is 13, I was told. 12-1, 13. I bet Krauss, Kohan Krauss jumped out of his chair and said, "What?" 13. He's the one that's putting these numbers together and doing a wonderful job of it. today is what? 4/18, isn't it? 4/18? I think. There's something about that too. I can't remember what it was. He'll get it to you. The Genesis 49:1. There's a lot to this chapter, and it's seen throughout the Holy Scriptures. And of course, it's the work of Yahweh, as I told you at the first of this sermon. I said, you know, to the laws and to the prophecies. You remember that? You ought to have these scriptures memorized. You ought to be able to say that's Isaiah. That's Isaiah. 8:24, right? Isaiah 8:24. You should memorize these scriptures and be able to peel them off when you're talking to people, to the laws and to the prophecies. If they speak not according to these prophecies and these laws, it's because there's no what in them? No light. Yes, no light. And what is the light? The light. Yahweh's laws. So there's no laws in them. The only thing that is no laws of righteousness. They have plenty of laws. In fact, they have so many laws that they can't even keep up with them, even with computer. And they pass laws that contradict other laws, and they try to cover it up or ignore it. That's what they do with most of their laws, is ignore them themselves, but they use them against the ones they want to send to prison. But in Genesis 49, the first thing to notice here is that this is the last two words in that verse 1 of Genesis 49, the last two words. And this will tell you when all of this stuff comes down, boils down to where we are right now. And we're seeing it. We're seeing what is prophesied in this chapter here. Now, you couldn't understand this chapter by itself. You've almost got to learn the whole book of Yahweh. And then when you read a verse, you'll say, hey, the prophet, the apostle spoke of that. Isaiah spoke of that. Yekiska spoke of that. But the key to the whole thing is, if they're not prophesied to bring this light, they won't be able to bring the light, because their minds are closed to it, as Daniel was prophesied to write. The wicked know not the wicked. They will never understand, Daniel said. The righteous will understand. Why? Because they come to the house of Yahweh, where they are taught by the one sent. That's the only reason they can understand. But the righteous will. The wicked the wicked, the evil that follow the gods, they won't come here. Their preachers are hiding this stuff, and the preachers are to blame for this rape, this culture of rape, the culture of violence that we're all the world now is seeing. This is being broadcast globally, that about this violence in America, the gang rapes in America, and that's just a little of what's being broadcast. It's going on. The cheating and stealing and stuff like that is also being broadcast by RT and by Press TV and a few others. It's going out far and wide, along with the same broadcast, are taking the message of Yahweh out there, saying we have a peaceful solution to all of this that would stop it. And when you really get a head full of it here and you really want to get rid of it, we have the solution for you. But this is in the last days now, right here. As you see that, the last days is what I'm going to tell you what will take place in the last days. Well, the Savior said, when you see the nuclear bomb that can darken the sun, that's the last days. That's the last generation, he said. That's Matthew 21. Matthew 21, right? Somebody said it. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 32 through 34. He said that's the last generation. When you see the nuclear bomb that can darken the sun, that's in verse 29. Then you know that generation will not pass away until all of this be fulfilled, including the darkening of the sun. How would he know that there was going to be a bomb that could darken the sun? He spoke. His life ended here on earth 30 years after he was born. But he gave this to you in prophecy that there would be power that would actually darken the sun. And of course, he gives the colors of it in Revelations 6 and 7 and says they won't repent in chapter 9 of Revelations. Said the world won't repent now, even after a third of them are dead in and around the great river Euphrates and that fourth part of the earth. How much more accurate could you be? Now think of it, those he calls fools, think of it. Could you foretell something like that? It didn't come to pass, didn't start even to come to pass till 1934. Other prophecies back this up, but 1934 was the starting place of the computer. In fact, we put it in our letters. If you're reading this, if you're proofreading those letters, you got to know that. The computer started in 1934. The nuclear bomb started in 1934. I was born in 1934. The one cent that would establish the house of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh is established. It wasn't till I established it, brethren. And Yahweh said, I would. And that's in Zechariah 6:10. Now, all of you should be remembering these scriptures if you're really studying and proofreading, there's the proof right there that you could preach this sermon. So he says, gather together and listen now. Listen, that's the thing, listen. That's the key word. You sons of Jacob, listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are that. Well, that's two prophecies there. That's him, Israel, and me, Israel. Listen, he said. Somebody says yes. That's true. But Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor. That is among men now, exceeding in rank. That's the ones. That are running the races and can throw a baton further than anyone else and fight harder and go in the cages and come back out standing. But you're turbulent like water. And that's exactly the shape of the Catholic Church today. Of course, it's the shape of the whole world. And this was inherited by the whole world. Our microbiology teacher has told me that he, by Pentecost now, he's going to have this sermon ready that will blow your mind here about the microorganisms that can actually build this character in you and have an army in your head fighting, making you mad, making you angry. Remember, Yahweh said, "Why are you angry, Cain? Have you seen anyone like that that's leaving the house of Yahweh? Did you ask them, Cain, why are you so angry? See if that rings a bell to them." Well, who's Cain anyway? Well, turbulent like water, and you will no longer excel. Yes, they're groping for answers right now. This is the last day, see? So he's speaking to this generation, as Yahshua said, saying you'll no longer excel now. You're going down. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. For you went up unto your father's bed. You see where it started? This is where all of this started, this turbulence that screwed up this man's mind, but not only this man's mind. You just saw what was taking place on the beach. You saw what was taking place in Walmart parking lot. This is not the only places. It's all over the world, all throughout the United States. It's everywhere, in the bedrooms, in the living rooms, in the kitchens, in the shopping centers. It's everywhere today, throughout the world, he says. And defilement. He didn't know he's defiling his own brain, did he? When he did this, and this is what the apostle said, when you sin, then you sin against your own body, the apostle Shaul said. Where was that, Dale? Let me see. Where was that? Come on. 1 Corinthians 6. Now look at Simon and Levi. Simon and Levi, the brothers, their swords are weapons of violence. That is, these are the soldiers now that you see in the army today. These are the soldiers that you see killing themselves, but they're killing a lot of other people. Many of them are committing suicide. Thousands of them. There's a big suicide rate now among the armed forces, in the armed forces, where they're taking their own lives rather than be raped. Yes, that's what's going on in the army too. Yes, both men and women. That comes from Jeremiah 23. Remember that? He said, if you hadn't, now get this, because microorganisms play this part right here. If you hadn't saved back a remnant, Yeremia said, then all of us would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. All of us. So that means some protection. Keep that in mind now. Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. They're the ones that took over the temple. Remember, violent men, the Savior told you this. Violent men have taken it by force. They took over the house of Yahweh. And Yahweh allowed it. He said it's going to be given into their hands. And told you it's going to be given into their hands. They have a free rein to prove what they're proving right now. And the world is hating what they see. Right now they're not willing to do anything about it. They want to pass some more laws. I guess no more than 12 rapes in one night. Let me not enter their council. Did you get that? Now he's speaking of a certain group of people here, which means he's speaking, Yahweh is speaking of a group of called out ones, not a group, but they become a group. But individual called out ones who he's going to make sure that this council does not, their council does not enter these people. Yes, Yahshua was one of them, him and his family. This has something to do with Yana. But you'll never understand it unless you put forth some effort to understand what I'm bringing forth here. Let me not enter their council. Let my glory not be joined to their assemblies. This means churches. You see that? This means churches, congregations, a congregation that assembles to be taught by the churches who say the laws are done away with. Yes, this is what the Pope says. Where did this come from? Came from the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes. Remember, Yahshua says, I know you was given the law, but none of you keep the law. We know the Catholic Church had the law. The keys of this blood prove that. Their own writers prove they are the keys of this blood that took the temple by force. Yes, took the temple by force, destroyed it eventually, and moved to Rome. We know that the law was given to you, but you're not keeping Yahweh's laws. We know that it's given to all your daughters too. The Baptists who claim right at 1 million people, I think, or more in America. And what are they teaching? The laws of Yahweh is done away with. Why don't you keep the Ten Commandments? Oh, we do keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, really? Really now? See, I got this from my brother-in-law who was a Baptist, a Baptist preacher. And I said, read me the fourth commandment of the ten. And let's see, where is that? I said, what do you study, Major? What do you study? And he showed me that pile of literature that they sent to him to get ready for Easter. get these sermons ready for Easter and the rabbits laying eggs and colored eggs, no doubt. You know, man, this is a high-class rabbit out here. Led by a goddess. Well, what's your Easter goddess have to do with salvation? Does she keep the Sabbath? No. Those who enter into life keep the commandments, I said. And I told him where to find it. And I said, Exodus is where you find these commandments, Major. Well, I was hard on everyone I talked to at that time. I'm not that way anymore. Let my glory not be joined to their assemblies, their churches. Their churches, their assemblies, their congregation. Let no man deceive you by any means. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Do you know we're the only ones on the face of the earth, the only religious organization on the face of the earth that actually teach Yahweh's righteousness? That sets us apart. The laws and the prophecies set the house of Yahweh apart. In the last days, I will establish my house. Wow, where at? In the chief of the nations, he said. Well, where is that now? It's east of the, coming from the east, it's west of the original location of Abel. It gives you all the details of where his house would be established. That's what the Holy Scriptures do. The Baptists have nothing to brag about there. Yes, they are in prophecy as being an evil God worshiper, all of them, worshiping the gods of evil. Now, they say, well, Yahweh is just another God. That's what they try to do, all the other gods. No, Yahweh is the one that gave them righteousness. And he says, and Satan says, don't be like him, be like the gods. That would show anybody that Yahweh is different and not a God. If you're going to be like the gods, you'd be like Yahweh too if you did evil. But you're not like him. You're not like Yahweh when you do evil. You're like the gods who are against Yahweh and his teaching. Well, here he shows you the assemblies in the last days. Now back then, but let me not be joined to these assemblies in these last days. Do not let me enter into their counsel, their preaching, their life, their culture of rape, their culture of brutality. This is going on all over the world. We send out our armed forces to do this everywhere. Is it any wonder that it's taking place in the Walmart parking lot? It's taking place in many other places too, throughout the whole world. For in anger, they killed a man. They slaughter. You see that? In the last days, this is their culture, he said. So did the sheriff say it. And other articles that I've got, I haven't read them full yet, but the headline said, we're living in a culture of hatred. Another one said, we're living in a culture of rape. This is the new norm. And who are they coming against but those who would protect their women as the Muslims do? And Malachi Martin said this before it ever started. He said, Satan, who hates women. I said years ago when I saw that the sodomites were designing the women's clothing in Hollywood, California. And they were designing women's clothing. And I said, what woman would wear that, you know? But I couldn't have been more than, well, televisions had just come out anyway. So that was about the 40s when I said, you know, this is really evil. You know, they got men here now that's supposed to be men, but they're sodomites, and they got those sodomites designing the women's clothes. Well, what could you expect would come out of such a thing? And they were showing this as if this was the glorious thing. Well, don't let my glory be tangled in with this. Don't any of you wear this kind of crapola that they say is the norm. You're taking the evil of the gods when you do. Designed by sodomites and making them famous. They actually build them up to make them famous so you'll pay more money for this pair of shoes or this dress that exposes. Not be joined to their assemblies, their teachers, their churches, the Catholic Church, not any of their assemblies. For in anger they kill. Notice that. Don't let this be done because, notice the church, the assembly. For in anger, these churches are bringing anger, in other words. These religious assemblies, you get that? Let me not enter into their council. The council of who? The churches, the religious assemblies. Let my glory not be joined to the assemblies. For in anger, they're the ones that's bringing forth this anger. That's what your Bible says. Everyone who owns a Bible should be able to understand that. Don't let Yahweh's family, he would have never brought forth Yeshua if he had allowed this group to follow certain things. But he did set limits, saying, right there, you just read it. Don't try to bother my assembly. Don't try to bother my family, my plan that I got going. I will stop you. Yeshua's bloodline, I brought this out before, it was heavily guarded. No one was allowed to change that bloodline. And if they started attempting to, Satan started pushing them nearer. Then Yahweh put a stop to it instantly. And he usually sent them a warning long before. In anger, they kill people. And for their pleasure, they do all kinds of beastly things. For their pleasure. I've been preaching on this for years because this is what defiles the earth, the water, the atmosphere that this King James called firmament. Cursed be their anger. Yes, they're bringing curses upon themselves. so furious and their fury so cruel. Well, we see them cutting off people's heads, and they broadcast it on television. You can see the cruelty in this. In this generation, you see the cruelty. I will scatter them now, get this, in the last days now, I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them throughout Israel. You get what he's saying? Their genes. He's bringing it down to today where this anger, this cruelty, this brutality, this sexual fulfillment of lust is displayed, showed you right here in the first six verses. And he says, I'm going to let this be dispersed among the whole world in these last days. It's there. It's something that we're going to change, of course. That's what that's why we're racing right now with Babylon to get this message out. I would that everybody would make up their mind, ask us, what can we do? Because we got jobs for you in this work. Well, Yahweh says, if you turn over to Deuteronomy, hold your place there, we're going to come back to it, but look at Deuteronomy 30. Now, this was later after he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, of course. And he said here in Deuteronomy 30, he says, now I've set before you this day life by righteousness. And of course, Satan set before you death by what? Disobedience. Do this and you'll be like the gods. You won't be like Yahweh, righteous like Yahweh, but you'll be like the gods. Yahweh is not a God. See, I have set before you life. I've set this before you. Life by righteousness, but I've also set before you death and destruction. And he just told you right here in Genesis what he's going to be like. They're going to kill for pleasure. They're going to rape for hatred. The psychiatrists say that most rapes are not done for pleasure. It's done out of hatred. It's actually done out of hatred, and to fulfill that hatred, they do this, and they brutalize the people that they do this to. The people that are killing themselves in the armed forces because they don't want this going on in their body and they can't stand it anymore, they kill themselves. And this is going on by the thousands in the armed forces today, because they don't want to be raped, men and women. In that I command you this day to love Yahweh, your Father. Now, there's no love in the world for Yahweh except in his house right now. But there will be. They're going to see what sin brings and see that sin is not the desirable thing. His statutes, his laws, his laws, keeping his laws, his commandments, will live and multiply. Let's see, how far do I want to go? Look on down to, he said it before you, look on down to verse 20. So you may love Yahweh, your Father, by listening to him and then obeying him. Hold fast to him, for he is your life. And he says again in verse 19, I call heaven and earth now to witness against you this day, to witness. Now, if you just think what's going on, we have a trial that's going on here. Heaven and earth is both witnesses to this trial. But the trial is going on, set before men. Yahweh tells you by prophecy how this is going to turn out. And he said, this is what you're going to bring upon yourselves. Now, this is what Yahweh is saying. Yeshua right now is our defense. He's bringing forth what we're preaching, what we're living, what we're showing the world. He's bringing this forth to the heavens right now. This is in the last days that this is taking place. And Yeshua is our lawyer. He's our defender. And this is what your scripture shows. Well, this trial now that heaven is looking at, they're looking at us, what we're bringing forth in the house, They're also looking at what's coming forth in the world, on earth. They can see this. Yahweh is showing it. That's what he shows in the Holy Scripture. We'll see that plainer in Psalms in just a little while. But he says, I call heaven and earth now to witness. They're witnesses to this. You could call them that. Against you this day that I've set before you, talking about, he's still talking to the 12 tribes here. The same ones he's talking to in Genesis 49. He's still talking to them and says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And he says, therefore, choose life. Notice, it's your choice. It's your choice. Do you get that? Verse 19, the next to the last sentence, choose life. You got to choose it. You got to choose Yahweh's way. But he lets the others go their way. You understand that fully. He lets the world, he lets the Catholic Church, he lets the assemblies that you see here in Genesis 49. He's not holding them back and never does hold them back in the history we have. He has never held them back, said he wouldn't, except when they get into his plan of bringing forth his house in the last days. In the last days, I will establish my house. Well, he didn't do that just out of the, in a few minutes' time. He established you, brethren, long before you got to this situation right here. Yes. By the bloodline, by seeing what would go into your genes and what would not go into your genes, because he had a job for you long before you ever existed. That's the great wisdom of Yahweh. I know it's hard to understand, but you can see it taking place because he prophesies it, and you can see it taking place right now. So you know he's the guide, he's the planner. The plan was his, as first Yochanan said. And Genesis 49:7, he said, I'm going to scatter this throughout the nations, throughout the whole earth. And in Isaiah 24, let's turn to that too. Isaiah 24. This fits right in, if you'll notice. Look at verse 4. He says, this is as a result of what we saw over there. In Genesis 49, now remember this, as a result of their sins, the man that defiled his father's bed or somebody else's bed, you sinned against himself, and this was brought down to this present time. Now, Yahweh didn't take it all away from you. He said, you've got to fight it. You've got to overcome it. You've got to repent of it. You have got to convert then to his way. Science shows that you can rebuild your body in 7 years. You can also change your genes, but it takes 7 years in doing so. I'm not sure that number is right on rebuilding the genes because of the fact that people overcome. I've seen people overcome sooner than that, but maybe they didn't have as much or as many foul genes coming forth from that to this generation. So I'm not sure about that. But I know you can rebuild your liver in like 6 weeks, or maybe it's 6 months, 60 days, something about six. I remember that. You can rebuild your kidneys in a certain length of time. Your liver, your heart, you can rebuild your heart. You can do all of this by taking superfood. I'm so convinced of that that I take a heaping teaspoon of superfood every morning. Before I eat anything, I take a heaping teaspoon of that superfood and about 6 to 8 ounces of water and drink it. And when I started that, I started noticing a difference in about 2 weeks' time. Well, That's that. But anyway, you can redo your body, and you can redo your mind, and you can put a defense there that can't be penetrated if you just practice this, what Yahweh tells you to practice. Sin no more, or a worse thing will come upon you. Don't sin, and better things will come upon you. And notice in verse 4, Isaiah 24, verse 4, the earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. Yes, it's like they're groping in the dark. Remember Isaiah 59, the same book here. They're groping in the dark like blind people hunting for an answer. The earth also is defiled under its inhabitants. And notice the cause. The cause is the Baptist church, who won't teach Yahweh's laws, the Methodist church, the churches of Jesus and Christ, that whatever they call themselves out there, their assemblies that Yahweh said, don't let my people be taken in by you. And he backed it up. He backed it up with fire from heaven and hailstones that would destroy a house. He backed it up in many ways after warning the people, don't do it. Don't get near this group of people. Well, the earth is defiled. The earth is defiled. All you churches out there really need to read this right here. Yahweh gives you the reason that we're facing this anger, the fighting, the cruelty, the gang rapes, the unhealthy condition. I was just handed an article this morning. There's a new syphilis. Now, a new gang of syphilis. These are the cutthroats. These are the blinders. Put it that way. These are the blinders. Because they go for your eyes. Yes, it's new. And it attacks your eyes. You know, it used to, I remember, when I was working in the State Board of Health Laboratories and we were studying syphilis, and we actually thought that there for a while that penicillin would get rid of it, but we know it didn't, and the doctors even admit in the articles they're writing now, you get this syphilis, and it's spreading right now rapidly, but you get this syphilis in your eyes, they can treat you for 10 days. You got to stay in the hospital 10 days, and they'll treat you. And then they admit, it's not all gone. Well, that's what we found out with penicillin. You know, we treated it and it went away. We didn't see the symptoms anymore. Come to find out, it was hiding in the body. And when your defense system slacked up a little, there's parts of this that went to the eyes, I remember, and caused blindness. There's parts of it, it went to the lungs. Part of it went to the kidneys. Part of it went to the central nervous system, which causes lupus disease. They call it lupus. They don't call it syphilis because they avoid that. This is a new one, see? They don't admit it's caused by syphilis, but it is. But I found out at that place that STDs is what is causing this sickness. Also cancer. But, you know, you die of cancer, they don't want to say, well, you got the cancer from AIDS, or you got the cancer from an STD. No, that comes from a gene. They said, well, where did we get that crooked gene anyway? Well, of course, you can rebuild your genes. All you got to do is be like the gods, and you'll turn to having genes like the gods that cause cancer. Well, now they got this syphilis, and it's spreading, and it goes for the eyes immediately, which means it's a piece of the original syphilis, part of those microorganisms and part of the genes in that syphilis. Yes, it has genes. They've only found that out recently, but it's there. But part of those genes house that part that loves what they find in your eyeballs, and they cause blindness. And there's no way to recover once you get it. But you can be treated, and that's why hide the symptoms, but the doctors say, no, it don't get rid of it, and it will come back eventually. This is new. The syphilis that heads for the eyes. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants of it because they have transgressed the laws. Because the preachers, hold your place right there and look over, turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23 now. This speaks of us. This a lot of this is written in the last days to our group. And he separates us. We're the ones that he says, don't let this crap you're teaching in your assemblies get to this group right here. Now that's what he was saying in Genesis 49. And he meant it, and he backs it up. That's the reason you are here at this time. Yahweh put a lot of thought in calling you, and he gave and given you a wonderful opportunity that very few people on earth are getting at this time. But in Jeremiah 23, notice, I'm talking to the churches now, the churches who Yahweh says has defiled this earth because of their teaching, because of their assemblies. What are they teaching in their assemblies? In Jeremiah 23, and notice if I can find, verse 21, I have not sent these preachers, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they're out there preaching. Why? I have not prophesied of them. If they speak not according to prophecy, if they don't keep the laws and they speak not according to prophecy, it's because there's no laws of Yahweh in them, no righteousness in them. I set before you righteousness and evil. The assemblies are choosing the evil and destruction, because it comes with the evil of the gods. You see how that all ties together? Well, he says, I've not sent them, but notice if they would, what they could do to turn this around. He tells them, if you'll do this, you can turn around this whole mess that you're seeing out there, that you're scratching your heads trying to come up with an answer. The answer is not another law. The laws are already here. The perfect laws that would stop this and turn it around. That's what he's saying to you churches, you religions out there. You'll never get it stopped. As long as you teach the laws that would stop it are done away with. But if you had stood in my counsel, if you Baptist preachers that refuse to keep the laws of Yahweh, if you would stand in Yahweh's counsel, do you see that? And cause my people to hear my words, you see what would take place? You'd turn them from the evil of their gods. This is the Catholics and all of her daughters. All of her daughters are, that's what Revelations calls them. In Revelation 17, the daughters of the great whore that sits on seven hills of Rome. That's your Christian religions. And they say, well, we teach Jesus Christ. What was Jesus Christ? He was an evil God. Both, that fact, you have two evil gods there. It's written in the catechisms of the Catholic Church, if you would only look. We'll have to send it to you, because now the Catholic Church, since I brought this out now and read it to you and made prints of it from the catechisms of the Catholic Church, now you pull it up on Google and you won't find this. Now, isn't that something? They're taking out what they had in the catechisms of the Catholic Church, because I brought it out what they were hiding. That they chose the name of two gods and replaced Yahshua's name, who is the son of Yahweh, who is also the Son of Man. Born physical and born of Yahweh. Now, how could that possibly be done? How could David say that my ruler will sit at the right hand of Yahweh, speaking in prophecy, speaking in spirit? You know, this was the things that Yahshua brought out to this same group, but they couldn't understand it then, and they won't understand it now. But if you'd turn, all of you religions out there that you're hearing my voice and reading my letters, I'm Yahweh's last day's witness. Praise Yahweh. I am sent by Yahweh to bring this last day's warning, Yeshua being the author, Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew, in your King James Version, if you have a book of Yahweh, it's Matthew 24, verse 14. Yeshua said, I'm going to bring you this warning. I'll send my messenger, Revelations 22, I'll send my messenger to give you this warning, and then the end will come. If he didn't bring about this end, if Yahweh didn't bring about the end, verses 21 and 22 said there'll be no flesh saved alive, period. So Yahweh has got to bring it, and he's going to bring it in this generation, as he said. Well, here he said, if you churches, you religions, you assembly, if you would stand in Yahweh's counsel and tell the people, cause the people to hear Yahweh's words, then you would turn them from this evil. The evil that you see and hate right now, you would turn them from it. But you won't do it, will you? I'm talking about the churches, the assemblies that Yahweh said would be in this generation in Genesis 49. Well, back to Isaiah now. In the earth mourning, it fades away. In verse 5, the earth is defiled and the people, their brains are defiled. Their whole body is defiled, or they wouldn't be doing these crazy things. You know, they wouldn't be. You wouldn't see these strange things where a person grabs a gun or tries to kill a policeman or policeman trying to kill the person or gang rapes or school shootings or anything like that. It's in their brains. Their brains are and as many politicians, they have this too. Yes, and they try to hide it. Many of them try to hide it. They try to cover it. They're having these rapes too at the colleges, and they cover it up there. They try to keep it from getting in the newspapers. They also have deaths. I remember when I was on the police department, a woman two blocks from one of the colleges got killed. Raped and killed. Brutally killed. Not too long ago, they wouldn't show this on in the news. But not very long ago, I remember a counselor, a woman counselor, who went to counsel a man. And they found her several days later, so brutally cut up, and they wouldn't even show it. It's in their hidden records. This is going on, and it could go on by any person at any time. A co-pilot in a plane waits till the pilot leaves, locks the door, and takes several people to death, flying right into the mountain. That didn't start on the day he got on the flight. This started years ago with this breeding that we see would be in this generation. And Yahweh says in Genesis 49, it's going to be there. Think of the people right now that's joined the ISIS group. They're trying to get out of this group that's as bad as ISIS. The cruelty that was displayed in Guantanamo Bay. This shows the same thing that Yahweh said, how cruel they are. It shows what he said would be in this generation. Think of what a fool it would take to see this and read it and still not believe it. Well, Hebrews 12:1 says Yahweh is running a race, set a race. He set us at race with Satan, Babylon. He broadcasts in Revelations that Babylon is falling. She's being taken down. There's a lot of people right now that are rising up in opposition. People are forming in different ways, and they're saying, you got the answer. We know we don't have the answer. We know you do. In fact, rabbis in Israel told us that. I think Kohan Heimerman was with me. Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins was with me that day, and I believe Kohan Anaya was with me. And he said, we know we don't have the answers, and we know that you do. Well, you know, these people, they're still alive and well, and they're reading our literature, because one of them now at the Temple Institute wrote a demanding letter to the Vatican and said, we just found out that all these parts was taken from the temple, these artifacts, and taken to Rome. We want them back. Where did they hear that from? Well, you've broken the, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. They call it a New Testament. Well, there's nothing like that in Book 2, of course, that they call the New Testament. In fact, in Hebrews 10 and verse 16, it shows the Savior teaching the laws of Yahweh, putting them in the minds and hearts of the people. Where's that coming from? In this generation. And Hebrews 2 says, I wrote this for the last days. This is for the last day. And he says, I'm putting my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Isn't it strange that their minds wouldn't even know these laws, and the house of Yahweh in the last days has to actually bring them to them and put them in their minds? Well, it has to go in the mind before it can go into the heart. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth, this curse that you're seeing, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth will be burned. This is the nuclear burning that the Savior spoke of in Matthew 24. Well, Yahweh guarded his way, as we can see in verse 6. We can see also their counsel. Yahweh has prevented that from getting in the genes of Yahweh's people. Now, this didn't start with the churches today. Let's look back to Genesis. It didn't start with them, but it's come down to them. In Genesis, the 10th chapter. In Genesis, the 10th chapter, it started with a system. And Cush. Okies do that. Man, oh man. Genesis 10 and 1, and look at verse 7. He says, the sons of Cush. Now, those were the sons of Cush. Nimrod is not a son of Cush, but it was fathered by Cush. You have a birth date here. Now, get this. You have a birth date on Nimrod, but you never find a death rate. His date of death. The only place you find the date of the death of Nimrod is in Revelations, where it dies. And then in Daniel, he shows where these kingdoms that this rebellious system that brought what we see prophesied in Genesis 49 now. You got to remember that. This rebellious system, the word Nimrod means he rebelled. Cush fathered rebellion. This was taught in the schools. And if you notice all the places he went to here, Nineveh being one of them named here, Nineveh. That ring a bell? Nineveh? Hey, wake up now. Did Nineveh ring a bell? That have something to do with Yana? Think that had something to do with Yana? Now, if you're up to date on this, and if you'll study all the words I said, before next Sabbath, I do intend to bring a sermon next Sabbath, Yahweh willing, and we'll continue on in this. Then you'll understand. You'll understand Nineveh. Nineveh, this Cush that beget the Nimrod. And remember what Yahweh said in Genesis 49. Don't let this evil counseling, don't let these counseling from these evil, rebellious systems enter into my territory. What territory is he talking about? Look back here to Genesis 49 again. Genesis 49. And look at verse 10. The scepter, the righteous scepter, supposed to be a righteous scepter. Judah never brought forth a righteous scepter. Judah defiled the scepter that he was given. But it's given into his hand until this generation. This generation, it's going to be taken away. Hasn't been taken away yet. But Yahshua, who is going to take this away, Yahweh will take it from Judah, that's inherited by bloodline. Wasn't nothing said about Melchizedek being in any of their bloodlines. Remember that? Remember all these things now that I've brought you. After the order of Melchizedek, remember? Y'all remember that? After the order of Melchizedek? Yahshua, after the order of Melchizedek? Well, that's what the scepter is prophesied to be given to, a man after the order of Melchizedek. Not after any of their assemblies, which range in Rome now. They roam freely in Rome, but they all roam freely throughout the whole world too, as Genesis 49 shows. Now, it is this group of people now, sitting on the seven hills of Rome, that's been given all of this advance steps, strides ahead of us, that we're going to catch up with and pass and surpass it, taking this knowledge of Yahweh to all the universe and universe, yes, the heavens, because they're called as witness as to what we're doing right now. They're witnessing that this is the last trial. The last trial set before heaven and earth. You're it. And praise Yahweh. And knowing that this earth is going to melt with fervent heat, the apostle said, what manner of persons ought you to be at this time? I'd say you ought to be cramming for exams right now with as much as you possibly can. Not so much for riches, but for exams to make it into this. It's going to be here very shortly. Yes, the nuclear wars won't be put off forever. They're going to be in this generation that started in 1934. That's a lot of stuff to be gathered in your minds, I know, in one trip. And some person called me this last week and said, you know, I've heard you talk about this before, Genesis 49, but she said, I've never understood this until you brought it last week. And I've brought it several times, I know, and now I've added a lot more to it for you to, and I think if I were you, instead of trying to figure out some other thing to waste your time on, buy this or buy that or whatever, deceitfulness of riches, I'm thinking what you ought to do is get this sermon and re-listen to it. And then, of course, we'll have it out soon in the book of Israel. But you really need to grasp this right now to see this magnificent plan that Yahweh has. When he said in Yochanan 1:1, you know, in the beginning was the plan. Well, this is what he's talking about. What I've just covered a bunch of it here with you, not nearly all of it. What did Jonah have to do? What did Nineveh have to do? Well, you could have got Nineveh and rebellion together now in this ball of wax that I gave you today. But this is a beautiful plan that Yahweh has for you. You're the remnant. You're the last part that brings together with Yahshua. He's forming his house right now that the gates of hell will not prevail against. He's our judge. He's our defender in this time period. And he's going to say who qualifies and who don't. The only thing that will qualify you is, and one of the apostles said it, study. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh. Yahshua is our judge right now, as is shown in Yochanan. He received that. He's sitting at the set, that word set, at the right hand of Yahweh. That means judge. He's judging at the right hand of Yahweh. He's also defending you right now, and because he's been tempted himself, just like we were, in all points as weak, because he is the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. The only difference in him and us, he had the parents that crowned all the time, before he was born and after he was born. And at an early age, he was wanting to do the will of his father. Well, we have children here right now that we can see this result in ourselves. And some of them begging to get in these classes and crying because they can't. But all of that's going to be changed. We got openings coming. We got programs right now that's in the works where everyone can get involved in these programs to learn. But I would, if I were you, I would take every minute that I could. You know, I would be studying 24 hours a day if I could. Each time the phone rings, I get interrupted, you know, from my studies. But I go immediately, just as soon as I can, right back to those studies. You'll get to loving it that much if you'll just start feeding your subconscious mind. By practice, of course, by practice of Yahweh's laws, by studying to show yourself approved, and with each bit of knowledge that you get, it reinforces your mind where you can grasp all of this stuff, and one ball, and then you can see the rest of Yahweh's plan being coming into that ball around it every time you study the Holy Scripture. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you. Go!